Hello and welcome to the championship edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Jack and Shane as usual. And tonight we are going to break down the FAU versus UAB. I almost said Sun Belt Conference USA championship game this weekend. FAU Owls versus the Blazers kicks off this Saturday at 1:30. This is the fourth meeting, I think. There's been some good games going back, but this really is. We'll kind of talk more about this game than what happened in years past. But FAU is only a touchdown favorite, essentially a little more than a touchdown favorite, which I think is pretty. I think we all would agree here that that's a bit. Certainly I would expect FAU to be a little bit higher than that, just judging by really if you go by who the opponents who we have beaten and who UAB has beaten. But again, your record is your record, and UAB, you know, they got here, they got to their conference championship game for the second year in a row after losing a lot of seniors. That's kind of been the big story for UAB. But I think a lot of us expect FAU to win this game pretty easily. Shane, what's your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it. UAB in the west side of the division has been really bad. They're at a conference, wasn't great. I mean, they have wins over UMass, Rice, UTSA, Akron. They needed a comeback to beat a kind of a struggling North Texas team right now. Their offense has just been banged up. Quarterback. We talked about Spencer Brown, he was kind of supposed to be the running back of Conference USA, and he's been kind of hurt all year. I think he has under 400 yards. Lane did say today, and which I agree with, they have a really good defense. Number one total defense in Conference USA. I mean, that's some has to do with the offenses they've been playing. I said this on the last podcast, this is a game if we don't, I'm just kind of waiting for the game where FAU doesn't force four turnovers. Has FAU's offense been good enough against these good defenses to kind of win a ball game? You know, so, I mean, that would be the one path for UAB to win. Hopefully, another week of BJ Emmons kind of getting settled in, getting playing. We can rely on him more because, I mean, we pointed out, or Jack pointed out, really, that Chris only had 6 real completions last week, 3 of them to Harrison Bryant. So, you know, the offense really never got going, which is still crazy for an offense that doesn't get going. We managed 34 points. It's just a kind of been a testament of, you know, how we've been playing lately.
And I don't think, I mentioned this last time as well, that Chris hasn't had back-to-back, at least this year, back-to-back poor games. So, whatever they do, they get it figured out throughout the week. And so, yeah, I would expect FAU to continue to put up a lot of points without any problems. And I retweeted it, but somebody mentioned that the Conference USA West was literally the worst division in all of FBS football. UAB and certainly there's the nice thing about being the last two teams playing really is there's a lot that's being written about it. And I've seen, seen a lot written about how UAB has, they lost so many seniors and here they are. But there's a lot of people that are pointing out that, like, well, it took kind of the Conference USA West imploding on itself and Louisiana Tech really ready to host the conference championship game and then getting their two best players suspended. And also the against North Texas, it took a pick six for UAB to basically win the game. They had a pick six in the middle of the third quarter, and then their defense held North Texas to 21, however many points it was, but their offense didn't score anymore. So if their starting quarterback or their quarterback situation, Tyler Johnson has been injured really for the second half of the season, I don't think they'll be able to score enough points.
And I mean, you're right with Johnson's injury. Spencer Brown, Shane, hit the nail on the head. And we're expecting him to, the past 2 years, really, to be the next Motor Singletary. And it is just not fallen true at all. UAB probably has the easiest out-of-conference schedule in all of Conference USA. Their only team that's above 500 in FBS that they played is Tennessee. And let's be real. The fact that they're like third place in Conference USA East is, or sorry, third place in SEC East. I mean, Tennessee could probably play in Conference USA East and they'll still finish third. How about that? It's just laughable. They did not look good against North Texas. Granted, UNT is a much better team when they're playing at home in Denton than they are on the road, like when they played at Charlotte about a month ago. But I just don't see a path to victory for UAB's offense this week. Their defense is really good, really stout. As long as Chris doesn't have back-to-back awful games, like you mentioned, Dan, I think we got this in a bag. We got two rings in the span of 3 years. I mean, credit to you.
Wow, Cocky Owl fans, we got, yeah, man. This is going to be
– let's do it.
Can Freezing Cold Takes do a podcast, like a whole podcast?
It's 49 degrees in Tampa, so I feel like it's freezing cold already. Got the Mr. Rogers cardigan on, you know.
Yeah.
but it's – I mean, still, guys, credit to them with what they've done, what Bill Clark has done since the shutdown. You guys know that I've been a fan of UAB for a long, long time now, and I'm really excited we finally get to play them for the first time in a while since the Charlie Partridge years. Good for them. They're going to back-to-back conference titles. That's something that we couldn't do. So, I mean, let's put some respect on the name, but at the same time, guys, I mean, come on, 7.5. I'm about to bet my student loan debt on that, okay? Let's pay for Lane Kiffin to stay home. What do you guys
think? Yeah, it's funny about UAB. I do think there's a memorable. We've played them, I think, a total. This is the third or fourth. The cool thing is the first ever FAU game I ever attended was against UAB. It was the first home game after the New Orleans Bowl season. I remember Charles Pierre had a long touchdown run to kind of to cap that game off. And I believe Cortez Gent threw like a touchdown pass on like a reverse that game. It was my first FAU game, and who
you guys are old.
Wow. Yeah. Who will forget the opening game, the Lester Jean one-handed catch game. And I'll never forget, and we complain about, like, the TVs and ESPN all the time. And I'll never forget me and all my friends in the fraternity, we wanted to order. So we ordered, like, the Sunbelt TV game, which I think if I left a computer up right now and I started that game and didn't turn the computer off for all these years, it would still be buffering. Like, we'd still be in the third quarter. And so I'll never forget, we just gave up on it, and we were, like, just drinking, hitting refresh on the Game Pass. And I'll never forget that we blocked a field goal at the end of that game. We were just, in silent. And Mike Loxley, it just said, UAB missed field goal, Mike Loxley blocked. And we went crazy. And then I believe, the last time we played them was the year they before they were shut down. It was, like, the only cold weather game in FAU history. I remember being legit cold that night. Yeah.
It was crazy because it was so warm to start off the day, and then I'm sorry to interrupt, Shane, but I was just mind blown with how cold it got.
Yeah.
Lucky Whitehead had a great touchdown, like a 70-yard screen pass taken back, and we ended up losing by one score. And it was just
We blew a lead under Charlie Parker. Shocking.
You guys are forgetting the Joe Webb game.
Oh yes, that's right. We did win that. Yeah.
No, we got destroyed by Joe Webb, just like running QB, you know, QB runs up the middle.
Yes, you're right. And then so we've played them, I think, a total of we're all off on this podcast. Because there was another game we went up there, I think
2013?
Yeah, we beat them pretty handily. They were pretty bad.
Yeah.
So So that's five times. We have quite the history with UAB. Yeah. And it's just a growing
Night Owl. TBT, yeah. Night Owl, guys. Here you go.
And it's just it's a growing program. They've actually come back. I argue to say that them getting shut down was probably the healthiest thing that's ever happened to the program. It's like they got millions of dollars funded into it. It's almost that program was dying before, and now they're going to get a new stadium in downtown Birmingham, which I'm a big fan of any Conference USA team that's centered in a place that you can probably fly direct. So, you know, any of those programs that continue to grow, Charlotte, we'll say Middle Tennessee, close enough to Nashville, 30-minute drive. And, yeah. You know, UAB, big fan. FE recruits Alabama heavily as well. So if we kind of remain in the conferences with each other, this could kind of develop as maybe our top West rival. It kind of feels like La Tech now. But, now we talk about the history, it probably has. And we thought all this out loud.
Well, Shane, I mean, you're saying that you don't want to go to Huntington, West Virginia for a quality time with the turds. I mean, herd, sorry.
The herds, as their shirts say now, the herds.
The herds. Well, that happened at FAU Stadium, by the way, if you guys don't know. An old lady held up a sign. I'm not sure if it was a Boca Bowl or a game against.
No, it was this recent game.
It was this year? Okay, where she held up a sign and said, go squiggly line and then herds below that. And it's now become a viral sensation in Conference USA Twitter. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. It's a hoot.
In the another game that we forgot to mention is, how did we forget 2011? The only win.
Oh, my God.
2011.
In the opening of the stadium.
The first win in the stadium. I can't believe we've kind of like – it's weird. We've almost kind of maybe other, I don't know how other Owl fans, you can write us. We've almost, this is more of a rivalry than I think we thought about, since we've just have such a long history with them.
I definitely, out of all the teams in the West, I agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was, FAU basketball was playing USF that same night. It was around Thanksgiving time. It was the two worst teams in a nation in football. UAB playing FAU.
Yeah.
We had a pick six that game for the first time in God knows how long. How did we forget that? Oh my God. I remember I was at the game, the basketball game in Tampa, and it's right behind the FAU bench. And I was talking to Ray Taylor in the middle of the game. I said, hey man, FAU football won. And he said, no way, not possible. Yeah, believe it. Believe it.
What a name drop, Ray Taylor. Yeah, I think maybe I just tried to block the entire 2011 season out of my head.
Yep.
Yeah, so we played six times. FAU has the edge 4-2. And we've had some close games. Let's see, in 2010, there was 32-31. That was the blocked field goal. And then 2011 was the Alfred Morris put the team on his back, 38-35. And the last time we played him in 2014, we lost 31-28. So, yeah, I guess there is more history than we thought. But yeah, I think we'll. It's funny in the beginning. I said, "Well, we won't talk much about the past. We'll talk about this game." And I feel like we spent more time talking about the past than we did this actual game. But yeah, so I think we'll move on to the biggest news. What every Owl fan is constantly refreshing their Twitter feed for is to wait for the announcement of Lane going to Arkansas. And we've got somebody.
You mean
on.
The contract extension he's going to sign? Right.
Yes. That's what they're refreshing their feed for. But we're going to have somebody on later that we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But I think we should, maybe since I always tend to think where there's smoke, there's fire in these situations. But the Football Scoop, if you're not following Football Scoop, they're certainly, especially this time of year, a good follow. But they had an article that FAU was trying to put together a package that would keep Lane. And at this point, I don't know right now what more we could offer. We extended him 10 years last year.
More money.
They're obviously more money, but Arkansas can easily come in and drop a bag of money that FAU, can't deal with. And I think, I just tweeted this out, but like, it's obvious that Lane, is open to taking other jobs? Does he want to? Is this year's crop of jobs Arkansas seems to be the best? Does he want to maybe wait for UCLA next year, Arizona, maybe South Carolina? Like, do you want to? And you know, some people would say, well, why do you want to go play in SEC West? You're going to play Auburn and Alabama every year. Well, Lane, I think he's a competitive guy. To be the best, you've got to beat the best. I mean, he probably looks at it as like, well, we get to play Auburn and Alabama every single year, and we get to try to beat those guys. So, I don't know. I mean, could he say, okay, yeah, this is the next job, but is the best job for him? I mean, certainly he's happy here, but I think he's the only one that can answer that question of like, there's going to be other jobs that are available. Maybe I'll just wait this one out. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I mean, I've been talking about UCLA for a while. We've been talking about South Carolina for a while. I think he would love to go back to California. I think that's one place other than Boca Raton where he would just really love to go to. And then UCLA, that provides him an opportunity, or Arizona. We talked about Arizona before. That provides him an opportunity to compete for national championships, which is something that he does want at the end of the day. Let's be real here. He doesn't have to play LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M. He has to beat Oregon. And there you go. Then he's in the playoff conversation. He has to, beat USC. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind beating up on USC every once in a while. So I wouldn't blame him if he takes the Arkansas job. If he's ready for that next big gig, that's fine. Good for him. But I think he's better suited jumping for UCLA once they fire their coach next year. Or just stay at DFAU forever. I mean, that's cool too. We'll see if we're able to keep him. Why jump now? How about that? If Arkansas is the best job you can find right now, then why do it?
I'm not going to get into the whys and stuff. I think after this week, just a lot of thinking and just kind of over it. And, we have Chris Bonini coming on. And I said this before, I think FAU is to a point of a program where, and yes, there'll be some short-term pain. Recruits will decommit. You know, I saw someone post today, oh, we could have to play a bowl game with an interim head coach. Who cares? You know, really, yeah, I know that's not ideal, but the recruiting aspect in the early signing period, which I can go on a full rant, I won't will, early signing period is awful for college football, I think, in so many ways. But I think FAU is to a point where – we can go find another good coach and we can continue to be successful. Will there be up and down seasons or, you know, again, we pointed out Cincinnati on the last podcast. Go look at Cincinnati and how many coaches have gone through there. And I think three out of the last four coaches they've hired have all been great. They hired Tommy Tuberville late in his career and it didn't work out. Boom. They rebounded right now. And, you know, they're going to go play in New York. And God, I messed this up last time.
The New York Six.
Yeah.
It's funny that you said, cause when I look at that, I always think it's a New York Six.
Yeah. Like, I always like, you just NY, think of New York. I always just read the NY. What is it?
New Year's Day, New Year's Six Bowl.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And if you look at Cincinnati this year, they can go play in a New Year's Six Bowl. So it's like, I think we'll be fine. We'll just keep growing. Again, enjoy this week. I posted in the Nest, and I see a lot of even talk with Twitter and about like more marketing stuff with FAU. Again, we've always had this conversation, but we talked about it last time, and I think it's just what's gone this week. I've reached out to just a ton of friends, and some who go to a lot of games, some who go to a couple games, and some who go to none games, and I've gotten a ton of people to go this week, a ton of people, more than I think my regular game crew. So it's just quit expecting people to do other things. You know, we as fans and alumni and us doing this podcast and me covering recruiting and Jack doing the stuff he does for basketball can grow it ourselves without waiting for the school to do something. So, you know, again, it's still Wednesday. You guys are probably hearing this sometime on Thursday or Friday. Ask people to go this week. Let's put together a good crowd. Let's like make a memorable day, right? That's what college football is about. We do all the coaching and read about recruiting and the three-star receiver that said he's coming to FAU in hopes that we could have this day, right? I mean,
this is the goal.
It's kind of like, in a way that's like, I always compare football and stuff to like dating. It's the chase is more fun sometimes, right? So the recruiting and getting the coach and putting out the depth chart in the spring and saying, I think we're gonna be really good on the D line and all this stuff. And then like, once we get there, it's like, oh God, got a wedding this Saturday. And it's like, what, you know, you spent all year looking for, you know, talking about X's and O's and going on message boards and rooting for your school. And now we have a chance at a conference championship on a beautiful Saturday in South Florida when no other team in the state's playing. Not a single – I mean, we are the lone team playing in the state. I don't know if – I don't know if when we played in 2017, UCF had a conference championship game, right? So, I mean, this could be one of these Saturdays that's rare for FAU. I mean, we're the only football team in the state, so it's –
But the game's on CBS Sports, which kind of sucks because not everybody has CBS
Sports. FAU fans shouldn't be watching unless you're out of state. You should be at
– I was talking more of a national perspective.
On-day deck,
but yeah.
Sports.
Every
FAU clearest pitcher, there's no buffering, and a guy walks up and tries to sell you beer.
Yeah. Every FAU fan in the state of Florida should be there, and unless you're out of state. That's the only reason why you should be watching on TV. Okay, I'm fine. I get, you know, I don't want to judge people for not going to the game because I get we all have things.
Full judgment from me.
Well, but how about this, Shane? I'll agree with you on this, is that us asking our friends and family and coworkers and our neighbors and the people that we hate in the world to go to this game will do a lot more than athletics going to the Whole Foods on Glades Road with the Owlsy mascot and a cheerleader handing out free tickets.
Yeah.
We're still not going to send people to the game because someone that goes to Spanish River High School doesn't care. People that go to the University of Maryland and you know, are only here during the wintertime don't care. But if we show that we're passionate, the people around us, our friends, our acquaintances, they will take note of that. They will see that we're passionate about it, and they will hopefully go. So I agree, Shane. Let's get our friends to go. Let's do all that. And then, I mean, one more thing. If college football is like the dating game, well, I do all this to flex on our exes. And by that, I mean, I just do this to make fun of all the Marshall fans that are just pissed as all can be on Twitter right now. And the FIU fans that are somehow finding some point of joy in Lane Kiffin maybe leaving. I mean, that's pretty bad. If the second best thing to happen to your season is if your rival coach is leaving, then you guys kind of suck. So I just wanted to go back to that real quick because that's what I'm all about, just making fun of our rivals, really.
I think it would be great if, you know, FIU beats Miami, you know, the big great win, and then they're like – they're the lone six-win team that doesn't get picked.
Yeah, if they go to a bowl and finish 6-7, they can flex the Miami one. That only takes you so far. We're a school of rings.
Right, yeah.
So let's be a school of rings, you know, not beating Manny Diaz when he's down. You know,
I'm curious, you realize this, that FAU brought back reading days. I wonder if we didn't have reading days in 2017, then there may have been a much larger population of students that went home.
Jay Gowen confirmed to me that I graduated in 2014. I was at FAU for a while.
No, but I'm saying from a student perspective, like if that, like when finals are, I don't think there's any finals on Saturday. But
so they used to be. Actually just curiously looked it up. FAU has two reading days this year, which when I was in school, some of you might be going with reading day. It's like a day between the end of classes and the start of finals.
I always had
finals. So when I started, FAU got rid of them. I guess they like they changed the calendar a little bit. They got rid of them. So I never had the day. It's just a big joke in college that you try and finish a semester's worth of work in kind of a 24-hour period. And then I remember when I was in college, that math finals and typically language, Spanish, French, those finals were always on Saturdays. And I looked at the FAU final schedule. I didn't see any Saturdays. So hopefully, I think athletics, they're doing a thing. First 2,000 students get tank tops. People love free T-shirts. It's literally, they'll fight over them at a baseball game when they're shot out of a cannon. You know, they'll take it out of a six-year-old's hand. So, you know, hopefully that gets it in. And I think there's been some good build up around the game. Obviously, the lane stuff's taken away from it, but, you know, I think there's been some good buildup for this week. So I'm getting my hopes up for a decent crowd.
I mean, students get a free shirt. Students get in for free, which I don't remember that happening in 2017. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I feel like they had to pay like $5 or something. I don't remember, but it's free to get into this game for students. And I've always been the defender of the student sections and kind of the biggest critic of that home sideline and the season ticket sideline. And obviously that changed last week, even though the student section was, again, the best that we saw for Thanksgiving weekend game. The home section, season tickets, you guys killed it. Awesome job. Let's bring that same energy this Saturday. Hopefully the students show up. Hopefully the end zones are pretty solid like they were last week as well. You know, the single game ticket holders. And I'm right there with you guys. I mean, if this is the last game that we have lane, let's make it the best. Let's storm the field like we did on Saturday. I might get in trouble for saying that, but I don't care. Let's make it a really special outing, guys.
I don't think Conference USA fines. Sorry, Mr. White, Brian Wright. If they do, we're encouraging that.
It won't be $250,000 like it was for Auburn.
Yeah, and I'm not picking that tab up. So
it's worth it.
Conference USA is probably $250.
Right. Well, you probably can get a coupon for it.
Yeah.
They'll find their coaches for critiquing the awful refs, but who knows if they find
constructive criticism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Constructive.
I guess hopefully, you know, we'll get a crowd of about 17,000 or so. That would be kind of good. But I guess moving on, we're going to have Chris Vanini from The Athletic, actually, who kind of covers G5 football and college football nationally on. So please enjoy that interview.
First of all, thanks, Chris, for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Go ahead, Shane.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Chris. Yeah, just, you know, thank you again for having us on. You know, we know, you know, you cover the G5 programs. You were out at Conference USA Media Day. You know, we'll first talk about the game this week. You know, coming into this season, how surprised are you that this is the two teams that kind of ended up in the conference championship game? And I think I saw a thing you know, over the last 3 years, these two teams have the most wins in Conference USA. So I think.
Yeah. Are you still there? You cut out.
Yeah. It cut out.
All good. Yeah. I'm honestly kind of surprised at both this year because I had a lot of questions about both teams coming. UAB lost almost 40 kids off of last year's team. They replaced almost everything on both lines. And so I had a lot of questions about if UAB would be able to do it because they had relied on so many veteran players over those first 2 years when they brought the program back. This was the first time they had some real major turnover. And so I had a lot of questions about them. And then FAU, similar deal. I mean, you guys, they lose all the star power off of last year's team, essentially, other than quarterback. You know, Singletary's gone and guys on defense, and throw in with some staff changes and stuff. And I had some doubts about both of them too. It's been a weird year in Conference USA. I mean, I thought North Texas would be there. I thought Southern Miss would be maybe a little bit better than they have been. Louisiana Tech was probably about where I expected, but I expected Marshall and FIU to battle it out for the division. So it's been a surprising year, but as we end up here with the two defending the last two Conference USA champs, I think it's a pretty good matchup.
We always kind of joke about it on the podcast when we kind of talk about the preview. Is it just us? Cause maybe we're a little bit too close to it, but as kind of a G5 conference, and I know you mentioned North Texas and everyone was kind of super surprised with that. Does it feel like that Conference USA is just way more volatile than other conferences, that it's kind of just this group of teams and no one's really separated, and it's kind of who just kind of gets lucky in a season to end up in this game? Or is it like this in other G5 conferences as well?
The Conference USA and the MAC have definitely stood out in terms of, I guess, inconsistency among programs. I mean, the MAC has had 8 different teams in its conference championship game over the last 4 years. So that's a complete, even most of the Conference USA is all over the place. But I think what you see is a lot of teams top to bottom are, there's not a huge separation. I mean, even a year ago, Old Dominion beat North Texas. So there's not, nobody in this league really has established themselves as a much better program than everybody else in it. Now, maybe that might be in FAU's future if things continue with Lane Kiffin the way things have gone to the last 3 years. But, you know, FIU finally seems to get over a hump, and you think they're going to contend for a division championship this year, and they don't. North Texas has a real letdown of a season. There's nobody in this league who has really consistently year in and year out for 5 years, you know, been a top team. Louisiana Tech probably as consistent as you get, but even they don't make the conference championship every year. They're always like above average in that range. So it's been interesting. Conference USA and the MAC are the two leagues that kind of have that. You don't really get that in the Sun Belt, where App State might win it for 4 years in a row. You don't get that in the American, where UCF is typically near the top, or Memphis, and you don't get the Mountain West, where you obviously have Boise State. So yeah, Conference USA in the MAC are really like that.
So, Chris, you've talked about the staff changes earlier, and now you just kind of went into Conference USA a bit and the future state of programs. Conference USA has already seen a few of some head coaching changes. And before we really talk about Lane Kiffin and Bill Clark, what do you think about the changes that are going to be made at Old Dominion and UTSA?
Well, they're not surprising, for one. I mean, at Old Dominion, obviously Bobby Wilder, you know, built that entire program, and a couple of years back he won 10 games. But things had clearly kind of gotten away from him the last few years, and they were continuing to decline. Even last year when they beat North Texas and Virginia Tech and still had a pretty bad year. So not surprised they moved in that direction, and same with UTSA, especially offensively there. It just really had been not going in the right direction. So I'm not surprised. I think it's interesting because I think among schools in Conference USA, these are two that could be on the rise a bit. They have a lot of potential. They're both, you know, relatively new programs within the last 10 years or so. And they're both in solid recruiting areas. San Antonio, you're obviously UTSA, you're in Texas. No shortage of great players around you. And then Old Dominion is in a talent-rich state in that Norfolk area down there. And then also if you go up to D.C. So there's a lot of talent there. Programs that, you know, UTSA is in the process of building a new practice or operations building. Old Dominion just redid its stadium. So these are two programs, I think, that have a lot of potential if you get the right guy in there. And I think for that reason, there's going to be a good amount of interest in those jobs.
Yeah, and just kind of speaking on that, you know, UAB's building a new stadium as well. Just real quickly, you know, we were kind of touching on it, Jack touched on it. I mean, what would you say kind of the overall health of Conference USA is at this point?
It's in a tough spot. I mean, to have a league that stretches from El Paso all the way to Virginia is difficult. Obviously the changes over the last number of years, it's only for a handful of schools you've been able to keep consistent rivalries. You lose a program like Memphis to the American, and Memphis turns into one of the best group of five programs. It's tough, you know. Obviously the money situation with the TV deals, it's not anywhere near what the American's getting. It's probably not going to be what the Mountain West is getting. It's kind of just been a collection of programs come together from previously from the Sun Belt. The American took a lot of good teams, or Conference USA took teams from the Sun Belt. And I think there's a lack of an identity right now. And maybe in a few years, once everything has really been settled down and people get more comfortable with everything, you might get there. But it feels like a league that's kind of all over the place right now.
Kind of speaking in that, you know, one of the things that doesn't help a league obviously is coaching changes. And I think this week, obviously Lane Kiffin, I think I've seen every Conference USA coach on his team in some sort of rumor here or there. You know, I know you obviously you don't have the answer. What's this? We're recording Wednesday night around 8:30, whether Lane's staying or leaving. I think just kind of maybe a bigger question, you know, you could provide since you see so many schools. Where does it, especially if FAU goes on to win this weekend, where does FAU in your mind kind of rank in the G5 power rankings as an overall job? Something that, you know, potential coaches out there would see as like, you know, a great landing spot.
Well, I think, you know, especially with the new football building coming in, it'll make it one of the top jobs in Conference USA. And you know, it's been a while since they won. Lane has shown you can win Conference USA here. I think Lane has really changed the perception of the job. It was always one that felt like I had a lot of potential, but never really got there. Now there's some proof you can win. Now there's some infrastructure in place that'll help. But you know, if the job opens, it's going to be below a job like USF. The money and just the total infrastructure, speaking of the conferences, you know, the American has really kind of separated itself, I think, as a little bit of a step up from everybody else in the Group of Five, in large part because they just had a new big TV deal that'll significantly increase the money and exposure for a lot of the schools, while Conference USA is kind of all over the place. You know, when you're recruiting as a Conference USA school, and you got to tell someone, hey, we're on Stadium this week, we're on CBS this week, we're on NFL Network the next week. It still lacks in identity. I think FAU would be looked at still as a stepping stone job, but a very appealing stepping stone job based on what Lane has been able to do and the amount of talent he's been able to bring in. But, you know, I'd probably put it a step ahead of FIU and what Butch is down there, but Butch has done down there, but not at the level of a UCF or a USF yet, in large part because those programs have a lot of just security kind of in place.
Well, you're on our good list for saying that FAU is above FIU, Chris. So, I mean, honestly, that's fine by us at this point. But, I mean, since you mentioned it, man, give us a 0 to 100. Dive right into it. What do you think the chances are that Lane Kiffin is the coach of FAU by the start of 2020?
This is tough because Lane's always different. It's never something like, you know, you're not – the questions around Lane are not, has he accomplished enough yet or is he the right guy to do a certain deal? He's a proven guy. We all know that. It's always – the other stuff. It's always, is there going to be an athletic director that wants to put up with some things that maybe you wouldn't get with somebody else? If I had to give it a chance, I'd say, I don't know, I'd probably give it 50-50 right now. Arkansas is obviously very interested. That job could go a lot of different ways. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see what Mike Norvell at Memphis does. If he picks a job, it kind of resets what everybody's able to do. But I think there's about 50-50. I don't think Lane's the right guy for everybody. I don't know. Ole Miss is weird. They got a lot of weird stuff going on there. They may be crazy enough to do it. I don't know. I'll give it a 50-50. But it's tough because, like I said, it's the factors when evaluating whether or not Lane Kiffin will get a job are – it comes down to personal preference with the AD. It doesn't come down to, you know, his resume.
And just to be sure, Arkansas is the same athletic director that was at University of Houston when Houston was trying to get Lane a couple years ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, and he nearly got that job. He had been talking to people about possibly joining his staff, and the school and the other people at the school overrode it. So you got to get a lot of people on board when you make a hire, and especially for something like that, presidents and everybody else got to be on board.
Chris, real quick, you know, just the last thing, you know, what do you got for the game this weekend?
I've got FAU winning. I think it'll be somewhat comfortably. UAB had perhaps the easiest schedule in the country this year. Among the only good teams that they played, they lost to Western Kentucky. They lost to Tennessee, got blown out by Southern Miss. They beat Louisiana Tech, but that was obviously when Jamar Smith was suspended, so I don't know how much to put into that. And they only won by 6 points. So I don't know how much to put into that. The comeback win at North Texas last week was probably their most impressive win of the season. But, you know, Tyler Johnson, their quarterback, has been hurt since the beginning of the month. Sounds like he might be able to go, but I think they're outside the top 90 in scoring offense, or they've got turnover problems, and FAU leads the nation in turnover margin. So a lot of the key factors just make me think FAU, especially having the game at home, will win this game perhaps pretty comfortably, unless some unexpected things go wrong, which is always possible.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. If you guys want to follow, Chris is with The Athletic. Definitely, I am a subscriber to The Athletic. It's definitely one of the, for all sports, best publications out there. And, you know, you do a lot of great work covering the G5. And, you know, we're always trying to compare ourselves to other G5 programs. And if you read his work, you can really get an idea of, you know, what everyone else is kind of going through.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, we hope you guys enjoyed that interview, and we hope that you guys enjoyed this. This is our last, well, I guess our last podcast pre-bowl game. So thank you all for being with us, and shout out to FAU basketball for another win.
Yeah, teams winners of a 3 out of 4 now. Last time we were talking about it, we had a 1-point win over UIC. The very next night we lost to St. Bonaventure by about 6, I want to say, and just a heartbreaking game. We won for about we were leading for 31 minutes of that game, and all of a sudden the refs were just, God, sometimes college basketball is just unwatchable. It just grinds my gears. But So the Bonnies ended up winning the Boca Beach Classic. Today, Wednesday night, the Owls just won against Canasus. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right or whatever. They're from the MEAC. We won by 3. Sillins had a big game, 15 points. Blackshear had a big game. Keaton Blackshear, guard, pretty solid. 1 point away from double digits, but he's showing some really solid guard play. Maybe even giving Mike Forrest some pressure at that number one slot in the starting five. So we'll see how this team develops. 3 out of 4, we can't complain, really, especially after the start that we had, the collapse against Florida Gulf Coast as well. So step in the right direction. We just got to keep this going. Be consistent. That's something that we haven't had from a player, from the team in years, is consistency. If we can keep this stretch going, then I like our chances later on in the year.
All right. Well, as a reminder, if you're living under some rock and you just happened to discover this podcast, Saturday, 1:30, FAU Stadium, FAU goes for its second conference championship in the past 3 years. And the game, for those that are listening out of state, is on CBS Sports Network. So, yeah, we thank you for being on with us. Make sure you check out FAUOwlsNest.com for the game thread, all the press conferences, everything else like that, game recaps, and check us out on Twitter @InsideTheBurrow, and we will talk to you guys next week. Go Owls!